Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Don't do it. Don't do it!
Welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast GAFFest, where in a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought, the lower back tattoo of the podcast world. Yes.
That is so true.
It's fine. By the way, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but when I was a baby thought in high school and a figure skater, I desperately wanted to get a lower back tattoo. I wanted a rose that was opening
Not
up
surprising
to
anybody.
Signify the virginity I was ready to lose.
Oh, baby. My.
Wait, what? It should be surprising, but I act surprised, but I will say I'm not surprised at all. And the fact that it was a rosebud is
I think
poignant.
My favorite ever lower back tattoo comes from Twitter porn. And one of the Twitter porn accounts that I like is Fat Rabbit Killer, who's like this dominant top. And he fucks this guy. I think he's fucked him a couple of times. He has a lower back tattoo in cursive that says Pisces.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
can't believe you don't have that
tattoo,
frankly.
I'm so mad that someone thought of it before me. I don't think there's a single Pisces in the world who's a top.
I would cast judgment, but I literally have a lower back tattoo. So I can't in good conscience offer critique on that.
What is yours, Fran? I don't think I've ever seen it. Not having ever looked at your lower back.
I have a teeny tiny little diamond on the left side of my lower back that I got after a breakup.
If Dennis's is a rosebud opening up and yours is a pressure made diamond, it like could not be more perfect metaphors for your respective pussies.
But also the fact that Dennis considered it but did not follow through.
Yeah,
ultimately.
Yes. And that I committed yes. And followed through.
You did. Well, listen, wow. I was a minor and I could not get one.
A minor?
And
you were
also
a minor?
I was under 18. I was under 18. I was under 18.
I love.
And also, so by law, I couldn't get one. That was my excuse. And also, I'm like really phobic of needles. And so I was like, I don't know how I'll ever get a tattoo. Because I'm terrified of needles.
Yeah, tattoos ain't for you, sis.
Meanwhile, the physical pain of tattoos is like
absolutely I love it.
Like,
oh my god,
my favorite. I fall asleep in that chair, mama.
I love the focused pain, so sharp. It dulls out the emotional pain of being a human.
Okay, and on that note, I am Tommy Teebs Pico, Indigenous American poet, screenwriter, single, not actively mingling, and I currently have 54 plants and one avocado pit that has sprouted roots.
Wow, dad, big dad vibes.
Wow.
I'm Fran, I'm a writer, I'm an editor, and a proud owner of not one, not two, but three bathrobes. That's right. And I use them all for different occasions, okay? Don't get it twisted.
And sometimes I would imagine you wear each one on the same day. Like over the course of a day, you wear each one.
1,000%. It's a daytime to evening wear challenge.
I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and I firmly believe that everyone who owns more than two bathrobes will be killed in the revolution.
Okay, you want to make a capitalist critique on me, Mister? I need to fit three people in my California king size bed in my giant penthouse New York apartment.
Off with their perfectly
You've been
coiffed
exposed.
Heads.
Whatever. Bye.
Wow. I feel like I just like astral projected during that whole thing. I'm Dennis Norris II, and I'm a reader, writer, former figure skater. And in 2021, I'm seriously developing a fondness for edibles.
Wow.
Love that.
Yeah. They're great for me. I sleep a lot better.
I'm terrified of high, Dennis. I'm terrified. Wow.
And how very you to catch on to a trend just decades. It's been cool.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. And they'd be like, yo, did you know they put weed in food now?
I came so close to sending you all that text at New Year's. I really did. And then I was like, wait, that's what Alex is always eating.
Who would like to tell us what we've got on the menu this week?
So, as the third installment of our extra special season of Valentine's Day content, which we are officially but not officially calling
with your head, both of them.
in honor of Thoughtuary, today's episode is all about dating, going on dates. We all hate it. For our first segment, we are going to, we're going to discuss a recent Twitter trend that actually I think we have a lot of contributions for. For our second segment, we will go for our classic advice segment, Penny for Your Thoughts. We're going to shed a little light on the scenario. And for dessert, let's just say that Teams is is going to surprise you all with what he is bringing to the table this week. That's all I'll say.
Take it away.
Buck, 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 peacock. I'm feeling a little peckish. I think we should start the top of the show the way any good top should, with our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Boosh. And to amuse our booshes, we've all got a little something today.
How egalitarian.
Yes, we all have bouches to amuse. Today we're going to wet your palates with this little... There was a tweet that was going around and it just said, what is both gay and homophobic? Both and. We love improvisation. And honestly, Tommy just felt that would be a really great prompt for this team, for us to all, our brains together and think about what truly are those things so that we can create, maybe not a definitive list, but at least a working list of things. And maybe all y'all at home can submit your suggestions as well. Just tweet at us and let us know what you think is both gay and homophobic. But who wants to start here? Is there a good example for us to go off of?
I want to start off. My first entry into what is gay and homophobic is fireworks. Fireworks are flashy. They are loud. They're all over the place. Only special. They have a sparkle, a sheen to them. So I believe them to be very gay. However, there's that fireworks song, Katy Perry. I find to be homophobic personally. The fact that July 4th, patriotism, homophobic. Very homophobic.
Very homophobic.
Yeah.
Patriotism
and
is homophobic.
Keeping me up at night, homophobic. So my entry is fireworks. Ooh, fireworks.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one. Go, Fran. Go.
I have a few addendums. I have addendums to that. First of all, Firework by Katy Perry is one of the best contributions to her repertoire. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Yeah. So the best Katy Perry is like saying the best STD. It's still bad.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll accept that. That's fine. But it is the best Katy Perry, so fuck you. Second of all, I will say that they're also homophobic because, who buys fireworks? People who live in, Indiana.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like, obviously not to make sweeping generalizations about, rural areas or the South, of course, because, queer and trans people thrive there, too. But I do feel like fireworks are purchased predominantly by people who do not have queer people's best interest in mind. So all that is to say is queer and trans people should buy more fireworks.
Let's far away from my New York City apartment. That was too much last summer. Mm-hmm.
Let's literally set the world on fire.
I have one thing that's gay and homophobic, and that is Tommy Teebs Pico, who is definitely gay and who hates gay people more than anyone that I have ever met in my entire life.
You already took one of mine and it was going to be me. So thank you. I agree.
Wait, that is so funny because on my list, I also love Tommy Pico. So three of us. Three of us wrote down Tommy Pico for something.
I would like to come quick with my homophobia. It is not internalized homophobia. It is homophobia I've learned because I have learned to hate gay people. Because of real world and real life interactions. Not because of something I have on the inside that I inherited from assimilation or anything like that. But
yes, also, yes, yes.
But I think like something that is inherently gay and homophobic too, to me, is also a gay bar. Because they're very, very gay, mm-hmm. but they make me homophobic.
So,
what about you, Dee?
So,
I love you. I love Tommy being like, don't get it twisted. I don't have internalized homophobia. I have externalized homophobia.
Yeah. I hate all of you benches, all of you hoes.
What about you,
it's
Dee?
It's messy. So, well, this is kind of building off of that theme, but I had Grindr on my list as something that's both gay and homophobic.
Love that. It's a great, great call out.
Not saying that I haven't had my fair share of many grinds in the city, but it also makes me hate gay people, especially the phrase no fats, no femmes. So that's a real thing. And I'll stop there for the moment, but I do have a few more.
I mean, guys, remember when our podcast was distributed by Grindr?
Now, see, that wasn't homophobia. That was the best thing Grindr ever did.
It was actually really fun being on Grindr when our podcast was on Grindr. I don't feel like a celebrity ever in life, but in that like brief 6 month period of time, the number of people was I was like, oh, it was good.
Yo,
it was good.
And knowing every Sunday that my exes would see my face. On that app where they had cheated. Yo, yeah, that was good for me.
You can't block that shit.
I got texts from so many exes.
You can't block that shit.
No. Yeah, no. I am thankful to Grindr for that. Absolutely. Those text messages 2 years later, still trying to get it in. Sorry, boo. Bigger and better.
Okay, I have one. Both gay and homophobic. Televangelist.
Oh, so true.
You know,
so
true.
Tammy Faye Baker.
So true.
Tammy Faye Baker.
You know how, like,
but
yes,
so gay.
Yeah. Like those girls like on your TV at 3 o'clock in the morning, like preaching fire and brimstone, having like full body like conniptions and I'm speaking in tongues. That is gay as
fuck. It is so gay.
Let me tell you. That is especially the hair, the wigs we are working with, the lipstick and eyeshadow that we are working with on those televangelist commercials.
Fun fact, RuPaul narrated the Tammy Faye Baker documentary, The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Wow.
I'm infuriated that you said the R word on this podcast, because the other thing that I wrote down as something that's both gay and homophobic RuPaul. Is, in fact, RuPaul.
Yeah. Well, and the fact
that... Let me tell you, that man is gay, is an arbiter of gay culture for some reason. But if he was walking down the street and he saw someone, homo getting beat up by some people.
Turn the other cheek.
He would not help.
She can't break a nail. Come on.
Yeah, that would jump on in. I don't know.
RuPaul would say something like, well, you should have been wearing a suit. Then you wouldn't have gotten fucked with. Yeah. You know, like.
She would. Yes. She'd be like, now you need to lip sync for your life.
Ooh. This is what happens when we let trans people do drag.
Oh, my God. Well, following up on the TV theme, I'm surprised no one else mentioned this, but I'm glad. Bravo TV addendum Andy Cohen.
Ooh.
Both gay and homophobic.
Yeah, Bravo is very gay, but also I think does not have queer people's best interest.
Wait. A major brand that turns gay stereotypes into profit for straight people doesn't have gay interests at heart? No.
Shocking.
Tell me more.
Shocking to everyone.
And yet, since the pandemic has started, I have watched 15 seasons of Real Housewives.
Okay, I got Joe Salt into Lake Real Housewives.
Yeah. Salt Lake City is so good.
It is really
so good.
Oh my God. We could spend a whole... We need another segment to discuss Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because let me tell you, what a gem of a franchise.
What a gem.
I still have not watched, so no clue. But
Dennis,
I have heard that Salt Lake City is good.
You are Mary Poppins.
I'm
sorry, there is a woman who's a part. Okay, all you need to know that there is a cast member on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City whose primary characteristic, or her primary character attribute, is that she married her step grandpa, at the will of her, as the dying wish of her grandmother.
And inherited her church.
And in, not just church, a string of churches, mama.
Oh my God.
Megalomania of churches. She inherited billions of dollars worth of churches. And all she had to do was marry her step-grandpa.
Oh my God.
Honestly, easy cash, respect.
Yeah, I am her. You're right. I am her.
Wow.
I love old men, and I come from a line of ministers. There we go.
Would you perhaps like to hear the poem I wrote about Salt Lake City? Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
It goes like this. Roses are red. Violets are awful. You need to go because you smell like hospital. I have an entry.
Oh my God.
I have another entry into the, it's a gay and homophobic, cilantro. Let me tell you why cilantro is gay. Let me tell you why cilantro is gay. Cilantro sounds like a drag queen name. Cilantro is also known as coriander, and that name, that ain't gay. That name is a fag, okay? It comes from the ancient Greek word that means bedbug because of the smell, and I find that to be homophobic. And, you know, some people taste the lemony lime treat, and some people taste hand soap. That's homophobic.
Teams.
You know what? It's okay. Some people's palates are not as sophisticated to be able to handle
cilantro.
That's okay. I respect that.
I have to admit, I am a fan. I love cilantro. I do.
I want to add, all of mine are no fun. Except for Tommy Teeps Pico is fun. Glenn Greenwald. He makes me think that gay people should have no rights. We should fully be gagged all the time. We should not be able to speak.
Well, I have one that I feel like is kind of fun, and I'm curious to know whether or not you guys have experience with this, but in my personal opinion, as an avowed bottom, leather thongs are both gay and homophobic.
No, I disagree. I love my leather thong. No.
How are they homophobic?
I cannot find a way to get my leather thong to stop chafing. Like, I cannot find a way. I have lubed it up. I have put coconut oil there. I cannot find a way. It is the only thong I have that is consistently uncomfortable. And I suffer because it's fucking hot.
And that's violence done on the queer community.
That's violence done to Dennis's hole. It's chafing.
Mm-hmm.
It's baby powder, Dennis. It's lube and baby powder.
Oh, baby powder. I hadn't thought of that.
I was going to suggest lotion and baby powder. But you also should treat the... this is something I know from growing up in the country. You have to treat the leather. Like, you have to use leather oil on the leather.
Yeah, you do.
And if you use leather oil on the leather, exactly, a leather conditioner, and keep the leather in really good shape, it'll treat your body right.
I have one more from my list. Gay and homophobic, dairy. Mm. Let me tell you, dairy, gay. You're squeezing milk
out of a cow's tits
and bottling it up, and it's being bottled up and dropped off at your doorstep by men in uniform, white uniform, and all white dress code. Mama, ice cream, gay. Whipped cream, gay. Yogurt, gay. But what does it do to you?
It doesn't give me diarrhea.
That's homophobic.
It doesn't give me diarrhea.
Yes, it does. It gives, Joe, everyone is lactose intolerant and everyone gets a little bit of diarrhea from dairy. And just because you're in denial about the fact that you shit 7 times a day and you still think that dairy doesn't affect your digestive system, let me tell you, you are up for a rude awakening.
I was going to say there
is
no way.
You can accept the truth now or later.
And like you have to take a pill in order to enjoy it. That seems very gay to me.
Yeah.
Wait. If that is true, then gay sex is something that is gay and homophobic because I have
it's
to take a pill every
homophobic.
Day in order to enjoy it.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. No question. No question.
Sweat is homophobic, I believe it to be.
I agree with that too. I sure do.
But also gay.
Thank you for indulging us in this muse bouche.
Yes. Cha-ching! Get out your coin purses, benches. It's time for Penny for Your Thoughts.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, it is time for Penny for Your Thoughts, the one segment where you ask us extremely unqualified idiots advice about love and all that kind of bullshit.
Such fucking idiots.
So thank you for sending in questions. You know, we get these questions from the fans. This is stuff that is on your mind that you're thinking about. You know, we want to bring it home to the people who come and listen to us, let us into their living rooms every single day, every Sunday, rather. So this first question is about dating, which connects to the main theme of our episode. So this person says, I'm gonna give this person a fake name. Their name is Bishop. So Bishop.
I really like that name.
Ooh. They can only move diagonally.
You are taking me to places, teams.
I'm moving on. So Bishop says, I'm wondering if you four have any ideas for how to meet people and date that isn't an app or social media. I feel like I don't know how to meet people in real time or in real life anymore. Even before the pandemic, I felt like I didn't know how to meet people in a way that wasn't online or in a bar, and bars are closed right now. Help! Exclamation point. I met somebody at a protest.
Wow, that's
so
hot.
That made me literally my life dream.
Yeah.
Me too. That is hoe's wet dream. Yes, absolutely.
I will say, for me, it's really hard to go up to strangers. So at a protest would be hard, unless I think the key that I want to talk about is like mutual friends. So it can be at a protest, like when if you go with your friend and they have a few friends and it's sort of like two friend circles merging, and then you kind of let the flirtation bubble up. I've definitely met people at small house parties where it's like, you know maybe three or four people, but then there's maybe 15 people there. Obviously, this is not COVID friendly. You know, this is for fall 2021 post-vaccine when we're all doing a little more social engagement. But it's not like asking your friends to set you up, because that like Charlotte Sex in the City nonsense for me makes me feel so awkward in a one-on-one. But like there is no, I mean, I hate being single and I hate dating, but it is really nice to have a free zone of desire when you are at like a party with a bunch of people and there's a bunch of queer people there, and you just feel a little flirtation happening and you exchange numbers and you chat by text and you sort of see if you're compatible with this person, aka is this person a top, and you just sort of let it kind of organically build from there. So I think for me it's about saying yes to those situations. You know, if I'm feeling a little more introverted, but I want to meet people and I don't feel like doing the apps, like if my BFF invites me to a party and I know there are going to be a few people there, maybe I just go and just see what the lay of the land is.
Also, I think when you meet people through friends, both parties are more accountable to the other person, to the other person's feelings, to the relationship with the other person. Because meeting a rando, you know, they could go. I mean, it's harder for people with mutual friends to ghost, right? Like pull some sneak shit, or you know, you generally would have an idea of, is this person sleeping around? You know, does this person have another significant other? Am I not a primary? I think a lot of the gray area of dating strangers is mitigated when you date, when your friend can set you up. I mean, the pitfall of that obviously is that person isn't going to disappear just because you're not dating anymore.
I was just gonna say, Teebs, you would absolutely ghost your best friend's best friend.
Yeah. Like, it's not my relationship. You would. I don't have any, that has nothing to do with me. But I was, you know, I was set up in the pandemic, not in a platonic way, with a friend who we talk every single week now. I've never met her in real life. It's just a friend of a friend. And so that person thought like we would really get along, and they were right. So like, and when you're talking about apps, do you mean all the apps, or is it just the dating and hookup apps? I mean, like, is Instagram, for example, another way of meeting people that isn't like specifically for a hookup app, you know?
That's where I met my boyfriend.
Y'all know that like half the people, if not more than half the people that I've dated in the last few years, Instagram. One even off of Twitter, which was also great. But I will say, you know, if you're trying, it's tough because obviously right now, a lot of the modes of like meeting people are not really available to us in a pandemic. But, you know, Tommy, I've also fantasized about meeting someone at a protest. There are some cuties at the protest. Granted, you can only see like half of their face, but, you know, I think that, you know, I'm not trying to say go activate yourself in like mutual aid work to like meet cute boys, but it could be a really nice side effect of doing really great work and getting involved in your local community. If you don't know where your local DSA chapter is, where your local kind of mutual aid community is, where all that stuff, all those things are things that everyone should do regardless or not of whether you're looking to meet somebody. However, when you think about what it means to meet someone that you want to build intimacy with, you think about the things that you care about. And if you were to meet someone in that circumstance, you already have something in common together in like working toward a common good. Again, don't go to a protest to meet a cutie. Like if you're doing that, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. However, navigating those situations is something that maybe magic could happen there.
And if you are going to a protest just to meet somebody, don't say anything. You don't have to say it.
Yeah, don't.
Just don't say anything.
Don't admit that and no one will ever know.
Don't talk about it on the podcast.
No. So those are all phenomenal answers. I have slightly different thoughts only because those are not necessarily the things I would do. But I think that, so when I first got to New York, I remember I was like trying to meet guys and I was like on the apps. And I think I had it in my head that the only way as a gay person that I could meet guys was on the apps. I had Grindr, I had Scruff, I had like three or four, I had so many of them. And I had forgotten how to meet people like in person. And then after kind of a rough breakup, I deleted them because I didn't want to meet anyone. And I actually continued to meet people and I did start to meet people in person. I met them at bars, I met them at readings, I met them at house parties, all of those things that Joe had mentioned.
Not readings, Dennis, now, please not readings.
I did meet some readings.
That's horrible. Literary thoughts? Anything but them.
I'm not saying that they were the best thoughts, but I did meet people. But in the pandemic, what I've gone back to is one of the things that a friend of mine said to me at that time when they were like, yeah, you should maybe get off those apps for a bit, which was that for me, it was all about developing some sort of routine that put me in the world, because I was like, I could just meet someone cute at the coffee shop that I was going to every morning around the same time on my way to work. And I did once, actually. I am not a runner. So the person suggested this, I would never do this, but like, I'm not a runner, so I wouldn't meet someone on my run in a park, but you might. But what I have taken to doing is not necessarily every day, but most days I do try to go for a walk sometime in the morning before I settle down to work. And I do see people, and I met someone. They were just a friend. It's just been a friend situation. But the point is that I think in this time when we cannot even rely on bars as a possibility, and like the apps exist, but we're frustrated by them, or we can't really bring them to fruition, or we feel like we can't, how do we meet people? I think that making sure we have some kind of regularity and routine in our daily life that places us in the world around other people, that's just the first step that opens the door, and then you never know what will happen or who will come across your path. And I do remember also, I have a favorite bar in my neighborhood that's around the corner that I was going to all summer. And I would just go and I would pick up a liter of rum punch and bring it right back to my apartment. But they had a really cute sidewalk area where people were hanging out. And I did actually meet a guy, and then we connected on Grindr because he was like, I've seen you on Grindr. And nothing happened. I haven't done anything since April sexually, but I did meet someone literally on the sidewalk in front of my neighborhood bar when I was there for 5 minutes, picking up a liter of rum punch to then take back to my apartment and drink in my room. Aww. So like, it's always possible and you never know.
I think you should take Ubers across town all day until you meet somebody you like.
Well, you know, I done twice met an Uber driver that I had a fun night with. So that's a possibility too.
It worked.
Next up, we have number two. So Persimmon says,
okay.
So I've been active.
I hate these names.
Persimmon says, so I've been active on the apps and have met some guys I'd really like to hook up with, even though we're still in the pandemic. The problem is I have roommates and we have strict rules about having people over. Everyone can't be not having sex right now, so how are people doing it? Do you all have tips and or tricks to help me try and hook up safely?
Lord, do I have tricks.
Mm-hmm. Joe, you can shut up. You have a fucking boyfriend. You shut the fuck up.
Shut
I don't
your boyfriend
hear it
ass
you.
Mouth up, oh, Joe. Man.
You basically yeah, married.
Shut up.
So no, I'm just kidding. You have legitimately great advice.
You know, a lot of us who do work on viruses and risk mitigation, like it is not, we are not going to convince people to go 2 years, a year and a half without hooking up or having sex. You know, in my pod, there are two single people and we don't ask those people in the pod to not hook up. That's sort of a risk that they take and a risk that we, you know, my partner and I take as partnered people in our pod. So I think, you know, the best way to think about hooking up safely in pandemic times is the same way we think about risk mitigation and other types of risk that has to do with sex. So it's never about – any hookup is going to have some risk. That's just it, you know. Even me and my partner live together. But there is COVID risk involved in that because he has to do his chores. I have to do my chores. He sometimes has to go to his office. I have to come to mine. So our risk adds together. And, you know, that's not stigmatized because we live together and we're partners. So I think, you know, thinking about it that way and, you know, if you're going to be hooking up, I highly, highly. So first of all, you meet people on Grindr. I've been having incredible phone sex and text sex, right? So think about ways, if you can, that you're going to be able to get the nuts that you need without being around another human mouth, because the human mouth is the issue. If you really want to be around another human mouth, think about a friend of mine who I know is listening right now in Chicago has built a glory hole in his entryway. And that's really safe that. Because it keeps the mouths apart. There's a wall between the mouths, you know, kind of a constructed wall. And the dick is not a high risk point for COVID. So put the disc, you know, like.
Yeah, you can suck on a dick and it's perfectly ethical.
And so the other thing I'll say is that in terms of a barrier for entry for hookups, you know, I'm a person who, when I'm single, if the vibe is right, I will do the anon thing where like a random person comes in my house. I don't look at them. They fuck me and they leave. You know, I think the barrier for entry for risk in terms of COVID is a little higher. And for me, the smart people to hook up with are ones you can have conversations with about risk, where you can ask them how they're mitigating risk in their own lives, when they've been tested. A lot of this should sound familiar, what they're doing in their own lives, and that you keep it to a relatively small number. The way I've been talking about it with my friends is like, can you contact trace your hookup circle? Contact tracing in America is fucked. It's failed. We can only do it for ourselves and our communities. You know, my pod sort of, I know that everyone in my pod has some outside interactions, but as soon as one of those outside interactions has an exposure or a positive case, we all shut it down. We know it. We do it ourselves. And so that's what I would recommend in terms of your sex life, that there's people you really honestly trust, you build a rapport with over time, who are open about their own risks, who don't seem like they're lying and saying, no, I don't have any risk, I'm perfect, blah, blah, blah. But over time, you know, maybe it's not the right time to hook up with someone you first start chatting with that night. You know, maybe it's time to build a rapport over time and build trust over time. And then, you know, if you hook up with someone, maybe go back to that person a few, you know, and integrate that person into your trusted circle. And that way, if that person says, no, actually, a coworker of mine that I share an office with has a positive test, you shut it down and you quarantine yourself. Right. And so that's happened to my pod, where someone in my pod had his one of his fuck buddies tested positive the day after he hooked up with him. And so it was shitty. Mm. It was scary for all of us, but we shut it down. And I quarantined and he quarantined and we all got tested. And it was sort of like we didn't allow the spread to happen beyond us, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's all risk mitigation. You know, you deserve to have pleasure. If you're a single person and you live alone or you live with roommates, you deserve to be able to hook up or to jerk off with people or whatever, but think about the ways you can do it, you know, risking yourself, your roommates, and other people in your community as little as possible.
I would say, Persimmon, get into masturbation. Because I find, After I nut, my desire to have sex drops remarkably.
Oh. I love Tommy Chico getting on this podcast and be like, have you ever heard of masturbation?
You might get into it.
Well, that's a new thing. What is it? Don't like, equivocate? Masturbate?
Yeah.
All right, are we ready? Are we all ready? Are we ready? It's time we get to the meat of our discussion, the thought process spelled T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
Slinging the salchicha this week is Tommy Teebs. Yes, this week we're talking about dating, a date, an itinerant moment that you supposedly could care less about, where the burden upon you is to bring your authentic self. Some people prefer to wing it. Some people prefer to prepare. Some people have line items. Some people have scripts. Some have generally no thoughts in their heads. Some people have the next minute in mind. Some the next morning. Some the next lifetime.
Don't at me, Tommy. The next lifetime, don't at me.
Dates aren't only romantic. They're also platonic. They're professional. They could be networking. They could be skill sharing. They could be coffee, bar, boardroom, and Zoom. Not really bars anymore, but it's all about chance. You do a vetting process beforehand, but it's an experiment. It's a chemistry test. You're putting compounds together in an enclosed environment to see how they react, and you never know what to expect. That's what could make it fun, and that's also what could make it tedious. I have so many questions for you regarding dates, but my first is, what's the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, I have one. I absolutely have one.
Okay,
it comes from my lean days. You know, I did my PhD in New York. As a PhD student, I was on $27,500 a year. I was making very little money. And I met this guy, and this was early in my time in New York, so I didn't know to ask this question. And we went to a very expensive restaurant. I mean, like New York expensive restaurant. And I, in my Irish Catholicness, just believe that you pay for yourself. And I ended up paying like my monthly budget for food. Like y'all, the amount of food that I could afford for a month in one night. And then he kind of like, I was kind of meek at the time. He wouldn't let me go. Like I kind of wanted to be like, afterwards I felt so bad and I wanted to go home, but he like dragged me out for drinks as well. And this was like in 2007, 2006. It was a long time. We were at a place that had like nothing but $17 cocktails. And again, so my choice, and he was very like, oh, I'll pay for you. But my pride could not handle it. And so I was like, no, absolutely not. And this is like why I had a credit card. But like basically my credit card had like a $350 max at that point. And I like basically maxed my credit card out in this one night of a date. And he was so boring. If I had spent that much and it was like the start of something, but first of all, someone who goes to an expensive place and doesn't ask if that's okay with the person is already a red flag. I learned subsequent to that, but just I was bored and anxious the whole time because how much it cost and how little this person had to say about anything. I have nightmares about it to this day, being trapped in it and not being able to get out.
I just don't share your inability to leave. That's the
yes.
You really don't, Teens. You really don't.
I have a few things to say. One, I was wincing and laughing through your entire story because unfortunately, I am that girl. I am the one that takes you out on a date to a restaurant that's too expensive because I didn't ask. And I've learned to not do that. I have done that before. I often don't go to restaurants unless the cocktails are $17. So, no, I'm just kidding. That's not actually true. But what I'm trying to say is that is such a really great thing to call out. Joe, like, I learned the hard way that, like, not everyone has the same, like, fiscal ability as you or the same budget as you when it comes to, like, eating out and all that jazz. So it's something to always discuss ahead of time if you're the one picking the place. But also, Joe, if he can pay for it, then he should pay for it.
I can't do
it. If you have even, let me tell you, Tommy Team Spico knows how to do this.
I can't do it.
If he, she, they have even an inkling, if you have even an inkling that they can afford this dinner, You better make sure they pay for it.
This person, had inherited wealth. This person could afford it. And I come from working class people.
Then that's on you.
Yeah,
that's right. Victim blaming. I'm victim blaming.
I was just raised with this idea that you don't let anyone pay for anything. It's just a prideful thing.
It is fully 100% white Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
I still haven't unlearned this. What I've learned to do.
That was like, you can unlearn that.
To this day.
I unlearned that.
Teams, teach
but
the
what
children.
I have learned to do is to ask what restaurant we're going to and Google it beforehand and say no, I'm not going there.
That's a step.
See, here's the difference. Another difference, Joe. In my lean days in New York, dating was my mode of getting dinner.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I was fit. Like I was looking good when I was young, man. I had all the moves and I knew exactly what to pay attention to. And it's you pay attention to the article of clothing that is the least consequential, the most inconsequential piece of clothing. Look at the socks. If those socks look expensive, that person is paying for dinner and drinks. And
that's
breakfast.
Good. That's really good.
That's what I learned in my candy days. My worst date, however, like I have been on a lot of bad dates, again, to get dinner. but the worst one was when a guy went to me across the table after I said I was from an Indian reservation. And I, at that time, because this was, again, like not Tommy Teebs Pico, this was Tommy. I didn't have the wherewithal to get up that moment and leave the restaurant. I had also, the food hadn't come yet. Is the part of this.
That's why. A bitch was hungry.
A
bitch was hungry.
I had the pork chop, bitch. I had the pork chop. I had to see that through. I had to not, like, gnarl on that bone. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
You had to gnaw on that bone so you could gnaw on another one. That's horrendous, Teebs. That's awful. So I sort of struggle whether or not I should categorize this as a date. But first of all, I will say that I am the opposite of Joe. I am a bottom, so I never believe in paying for myself on a first. Certainly not on a first date.
Not about positionality. Bottoms, top.
It is for
you can
me.
Be a, you can be a dumb bottom and pay for everything. Let's not be reductionist.
That's true. You absolutely can.
That's true.
I am not. I am not dominant. None of you have ever known me to be dominant, and that does not change in the bedroom or anywhere else.
You have been dominant in your ignorance.
Or with the wallet. There you go. I will take that. I don't pay on a first date usually. If we go to multiple places, maybe I'll pay for like the second place if it's like drinks or something. Anyway, so this is like, I don't know, this is maybe 6 or 7 years ago and I was home in Cleveland. I don't know if it was for the holidays or what, or maybe it was like the summer after grad school, but I was home and I was home for a while. And so I met this guy on Grindr and we were like talking for a few days, maybe even a week or two. And I was trying to like set up a date because I just wanted to get plowed. And we had sent pictures back and forth. Everything seemed fine. And then we were like trying to maybe set up a date. And he goes, oh, can you send me another picture? And so I sent him another picture that I thought was very cute of myself. And he was like, you know, I'm actually not sure that I'm attracted to you after all, like anymore. And I was at a point, I just didn't give any fucks. And so I just was like, listen, this is really problematic that you said this. This makes me feel like you have a problem with me because I'm black or you have a problem with me because I'm effeminate. Both of which are common themes on this app for me. And also I have been very clear with you about who I am and what I look like this entire time. So I don't know what changed, but like, that's really fucked up. That's a really fucked up thing for you to say at any point, but especially when we're like, I think we were a week or two into this. I was like, we're a week or two into this. And like, you could have said that to me or something, a nicer version of that to me at the beginning. So like, fuck you. So he felt really, really bad. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to have that effect. Like, I am still learning about like such and such and such, whatever. I would really love to take you out for a nice dinner just to like apologize. And this was during my lean years in New York, even though we were in Cleveland. And so I was like, yes, like I'll go out to dinner with you. I did. I was like, I'll go out to dinner with you. I will always go for a free mozzarella stick. I'm sorry, but I will.
So
love yourself.
Mozzarella stick. Aim higher.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. Shit. Mozzarella stick.
Love.
I was still in my 20s.
You were just. You dare chastise Dennis when you stayed for the pork chop, mama. I don't want to hear it from you.
Do as I say. Do as I say. Not as I did. Okay.
My auntie tells the truth. So I go on this date, you guys. Now, to be fair, we are in the suburbs of Cleveland, but you guys, he takes me to the Cheesecake Factory.
I love the Cheesecake Factory.
That is, let me tell you, best day ever. Let me tell you, that man, winner, you chicken dinner.
They don't just have cheesecake. They have pasta. They have mayo.
Oh, I learned.
It's so good.
The menu is a Bible. I have not been through the entire menu. I don't have the time. By the time I'm midway through, it's been an hour. And I'm like, I have to fucking order some.
What you want?
It's massive.
Dennis, the prompt was worst date ever. It was like the best date ever. Excuse me.
It was so boring. The food, I don't remember the food. It must have been fine. But the date, he was so boring, like Joe said. And then he was like, oh, I think I was like really interested in you because you're a writer. I'm a writer too. And he like sent me the link to his like blog.
No.
And at that point, I pulled the teeps and I was like, I have to go.
Wow.
I was like, we are not the same. I have to go.
I'm shocked that you didn't remember any of the food because it is all your favorite foods, which is foods that you should not eat.
So much Alfredo and shit. So much Alfredo.
I probably had something with Alfredo.
Sticks, cheeses, cheesecake, cakes, carbs, gluten. Anyways, I will also say, I will share the sentiment around the table, which is that the worst date is a boring date. Fortunately for all the listeners, I have already archived every single bad date I've ever been on in an Impure Thought segment. I've been taken to an Escape the Room.
I have nightmares
about
that.
To buy $40 worth of Taco Bell. I have been, talked at incessantly. People shared things about things that are not interesting to me. I've shared about stalkers, that ballet dancer, that freaked out after buying me those flowers. Anyways, I've had lots of bad dates, but the truly, you can be psycho, a little mean, a little arrogant, you know, something that's a really big turnoff, but I can tolerate it so long as you're not boring. So but if you're boring,
if we all have had these horrible, I mean, truly, like, I've wanted to die on dates, why do we keep doing it?
Oh, God. That was a very Carrie.
I couldn't help but wonder.
Exactly. Wow, Joe. Drag us all.
I mean, the same reason I'm attracted to men.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We hate ourselves.
Why do we keep doing it? It's true. But I would say that, like, there is the chasing of the dragon, right? You're trying to catch that lightning in the bottle. There's something appealing about it because we've been told that sometimes these go right. We've been shown in television shows and in movies, and we've heard it in songs that sometimes it does go right. And you're like, so bitch, why not me? Why can't it go right for me? Yeah. But it turns out it can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. It's not going to go well for you.
Wow.
I was just going to say that, like, in combination with what Tommy just said, it's that combined with the fact that, like, as humans, we're really bad at ignoring repeated red flags. Mm-hmm. Like, we will exhibit the same bad dating behavior. Like, the number of dates I've been on where I found out the person was 19 halfway through the date. And I was like, oh my God, this is a bad date. Why the fuck is this happening? And you're like, this has got to be some fluke. And then it happens three more times. It's like, mama, there's something wrong with me. And so I think that that is just an example of the ways that we kind of look over the ways dates go wrong that are a consequence of our poor judgment. You know what I mean? Not to blame yourself for that situation, but it's like taking yourself out of bad situations is a means of seeing past how hot they are and looking into their character.
I will say that for me, therapy makes dating better. In part because I think it gets at what Fran is trying to say. Like, if I go to my therapist and say, oh, I went on a date accidentally with another really hot 19-year-old from Instagram, he might be like, so what is it about these hot 19-year-olds that's drawing you? And how about we try to understand what it might be like to build a a dating relationship with someone who is more compatible with your long-term goals.
Who is an adult.
But I think fundamentally dating is an optimistic project. You go on the date. I mean, I have this distinct memory of when I was in the deep throes of being broken up with my long-term boyfriend. And I had started a relationship with a therapist. And he said, you know, in that constant like reframe thing, he's like, there has to be one thing you're looking forward to in dating. And I literally said, no, not a thing. And he was like, in 6 months, we're going to come back to this and you're going to tell me that dating is fun for XYZ reason. And 6 months later, I came back and said, no, this fucking sucks and I fucking hate it. But you continue doing it. And I think a lot of people are looking for the high of a great first date. The high of a great first date is great.
It's pretty good.
It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But very elusive. But it's very elusive.
For
it's
me, hard to get. The high of a great first date is what possibilities it opens up for the future, whether that be a relationship or friendship or some depth of a relationship. And I think, you know, you can really fuck yourself up by chasing the high and not giving into what is actually like what it's promising moving forward, which is depth and connection. And so I think that became the process for me is, you know, viewing dating as a necessary project for having a deeper romantic connection, which is something that I was longing, and then not doing the bullshit, oh, he's hot and boring, and therefore I'll go on a date. If he's hot and boring, fuck him. And kick him out of your apartment.
But it doesn't need to be a date.
It doesn't need to be a date.
No, but here's the thing, Joe, when you were saying people chasing the high and not going with the follow through, I felt there was a distinct bass in your voice towards me. And I just want to say, when you come speak to me, you take that bass out of your voice, okay?
No.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be a little bit of a voice of dissent here.
Love it.
I actually do really enjoy dating.
And you love boring men.
I don't love boring men.
Yes, you do, bitch.
Boring
rich men I'm just being who funny. Look like Paul Ryan and have the same politics.
Which one of them look like Paul Ryan?
Yeah, I may have had a crush on Paul Ryan at one point.
Oh, Dee, that's a thing you don't have to admit.
No, you don't have to admit that.
Oh, we've talked about it on this show.
Repeating that information.
But I actually really enjoy dating, and I think my approach to it is markedly different than Joe's. And I mean, I am a Sagittarius through and through. My rising is a Sagittarius. My moon is a Sagittarius. Like, I'm just a Sagittarius. And it's funny because for me, I found that once I was able to let go of thinking about the future and thinking of dating as a project to bring me into the future that I wanted or that I felt like I was told that I wanted or needed to want, I was able to actually experience dating as a sensation of a moment for me to like live in the moment and connect with someone who's there with me and who's present with me in that moment and to sort of enjoy that from them. And like, I'm pretty good now at figuring out who's going to be someone that's worthwhile for me to like have that moment with and that experience with. And I've found that it's become, and this is only really in the last maybe 3 years, but it's become something that allows me to feel like an essential version of myself, or to feel most like myself, to feel like I am in my skin is when I'm dating. And part of that has to do with the choice of people that I'm dating, which has evolved quite a bit in the last few years. But also, for me, there is something really fun and intimate about the idea of like allowing someone to connect with me in those moments and sort of cherishing that for what it is without putting a ton of pressure on what it could be or could not be, which isn't to say that I don't get my hopes up, because sometimes I do, and that can be difficult. So it's the navigating after the first date is great. And most of the time, my first dates are pretty great. So then it's like navigating after that. What comes after that? What do I want? What do they want? Are we on the same page? Will we ever be on the same page? Are we not on the same page? If we aren't on the same page, what does that mean? If we can be on the same page, what does that mean? All of those things that you have to think about. That's what makes it hard.
And that's what makes it frustrating, because it could be a good date for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is this a good date for both people? And I can tell I can tell when I have impressed somebody. Mm-hmm. It happens quite often, to be honest.
Yes, oh, I was going to say. Like, I'm pretty much always a good date for the other person.
You know, but like... But sometimes I can just, I watch that person's expectation build without me. And it's also been the other way around when it's like, they haven't necessarily been spectacular, but they've been sexy or there's been something where I was like, this is going great. And they didn't want to hang out again. What the fuck's wrong with you? I'm a whole snack machine. What's going on here? So that's the thing is that the intention has to meet, and that's hard. It's hard to build. And then it's hard to then, well, for me, it's hard to sustain. Yes, Joe.
I cannot imagine a group of people who experience dating so differently. 95% of my first dates, even when someone is fully vetted, are not enjoyable. For me, it is actually like the ability to be with someone and connect with them and feel not just like hope for the future, but even like feel good in the moment. That's pretty, mm-hmm. I don't really connect with that many people.
I think it's hard to come by when you are as cool of people as we are.
Fran,
sorry.
Stop
I mean, like, I feel like I navigated dating life understanding that I'm going to be probably one of the most interesting people that they're ever going to go on a date with. And I know, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry. And I know for a fact that you, Joe, and you, Tommy, and you, Dennis, operate on the same level. And I don't.
No, you do.
No, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. And
we
it has nothing
so
to do with intelligence.
We are going to get so many DMs from people who said that we were horrible on dates. We have dated hundreds of people.
Mama. Wait. You're getting it twisted. I'm not saying I'm a good date. I'm saying that I'm fucking interesting. I'm smart. I'm sexy. I'm funny. Mm-hmm. That's what I have to contribute to a date. I don't have to be, it doesn't have to be a good date, but I'm fucking cool. Let me tell you. And I think that, you know, I operate from that because I have a deeply rooted insecurity. Mm. And I think that's to connect something that we're all saying, going on a good date means that you yourself are good first. Mm-hmm. And Joe, you're not good. You're not doing great. So I think it makes sense that you haven't gone on a lot of great dates. And I think it makes sense that I haven't gone on a lot of great dates because I'm not good either, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's like one thing that's like swimming through my head. But I also do like, I do feel like the superiority that I'm announcing in a very funny and polemical way. I'm saying facetiously, but to be totally real, like you do have to believe in yourself on a date. Otherwise the date's
not.
Yeah.
If you don't exude a kind of confidence, the date's going to get sour real fast. I think it starts with
that. And I think that's one of the things that I find exhausting about it, because sometimes after a long day of work, after doing science experiments and teaching the youth, getting my energy up to feel that good about myself, to be able to be around a stranger and to be charming, as you would say, Fran, I don't have the spoons.
Wow. I think we really just... Do we have any final thoughts? Don't do it. It's not going to be good. It's going to suck. So
it's not going to be good. It's going to suck.
And then everybody dies. So what's the point of dating anyway? I'm feeling full, but like I could put one more thing inside of me. Dennis knows how I feel.
Always.
This week, our dessert... The cherry on top of our episode is something that I feel personally very passionate about in the pandemic, and that is plants. Also alliteration, if you couldn't tell. I love me some plants. I could not, in the before times, I could not have ever kept plants because I traveled so often. Them shits would die. I fostered my friend Roy's plants. Roy, friend of the show, he lived with me in LA for a couple of years, and so I could take care of plants by proxy. And so by the time the pandemic hit and I was like, I am not leaving this place in a really long time. And this place needs to look like a place I want to be every single day because I'm going to have to be here every single day. I started getting plants. I got some ZZ plants and some snake plants and some pothos up front because I knew that they would be very easy to take care of. And yeah, you basically never have to water a ZZ plant, like a snake plant, twice a month, if that. And then like the great thing about a pothos is that like it starts to droop when it needs water. It like tells you what to do. And since then, as I said at the top of the show, I have 54 plants. I have I have a star of India. I have to varying levels of difficulty. I've learned how to figure out what each plant needs, either by the leaves or by the soil. And I've had every imaginable pest you could imagine. I've had spider mites. I've had gnats. I've had like lots of different things. And you know, ultimately, I found that what really appeals to me about plants, first of all, they brighten my mood every time I look at them. But mostly it's something that I can obsess over that is not my body. It's not the pandemic. It's not a racial uprising. It's not an economic downturn. It's not a government, you know. And as soon as I like focus in on it, I'm learning it and I figure out the ways to do it. It's like sort of like with cooking. Then it becomes second nature and I can assess the needs of another living creature and give to it. And that's the way in which I can be a human.
And it is incapable of speaking back to you.
That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really endearing and wonderful, Tommy, that you, a person who is long on the record for hating nature, have found nature as a companion in the core. But I do think as a proud plant dad to proud plant zombie to like 17 plants, maybe more. Actually, I just did a loose count in my head. I can totally agree that there's something really meditative and therapeutic about being attentive to something that isn't you and checking the soil and checking the leaves and moving your plants around when they're not happy. And I think that that's something that I've also grown to love as someone who has killed a lot of plants in my day, like because I was so busy and so unable to give them attention. And now I work from home. I have a lot more time for myself.
Plants are great. I highly recommend herbs in particular. They're not always the easiest to care for. So maybe, you know, look up some herbs that are easier than others. But as someone who loves to cook and who is inviting plants into my life in the quarantine for the first time, there's nothing more magical and delicious than cutting herbs off your plants and incorporating that into your food. It just sort of, it brings it all together. And, you know, I think we're all investing in our homes in a way that we might not have otherwise when we would leave our homes all the time. And that is something that I want to continue doing, you know, and continue investing in and give myself excuses to be home. You know, as odd as it sounds, like, oh no, I'm sorry, I can't go out tonight because, you know, Tuesday is one of the 2 days a week that I care for my plants.
I love the sentiment around this, but if anyone ever said that to me, I would not be your friend anymore.
I really need to miss my plants tonight.
Can you imagine wanting to go on a terrible date with someone who's gonna end up being boring, and then they're like, oh, I can't
miss my plants,
water my plants tonight.
It's never gonna be an excuse for me to not go over to somebody's or stay over, but it is going to be my excuse to not travel in the future. The thing is, I've realized in the quarantine and in the pandemic that I have transitioned, and the transition was already starting a little bit before, because like my last book had come out and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this touring on this schedule, but I don't have another way of sustainably making money to live on. So then touring became such a chore, and then the pandemic hit, and then I got a different job, and now it's like I'm like not only like taking care of a living being, but it's like cultivating a place that I want to be in. Plants just make people happy. This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé. Our producer is too busy eating mostaccioli, Alexandra De Palma.
What is mostaccioli?
Mostaccioli. It's a really delicious pasta. Alex knows.
Is it a bucatini?
Alex gets it. Alex is like, I do understand.
Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, or I'll fall further and further into the dark abyss of backlog seasons of Riverdale. And it's true. I finally found out what happened to Jason, and I saw it coming from a mile away. It was so predictable by the end of the first season. I was just like, Skeet, I know what Skeet's doing in jail. I know why. I know which one he's a... Anyway, let's not get into it. My name is Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, H-E-Y-T-E-B-S on all relevant social media. And also this Friday, the 25th, I'm in conversation with Patricia Lockwood for the debut of her new novel, which is called No One Is Talking About This. Cut it up with us. Just search, Google search me and Patricia Lockwood.
Love that. My name is Fran. You can follow me at FranSquishCo on Instagram and Twitter, and also subscribe to my newsletter on Substack. That's FranSquishCo.substack.com.
Joseph Osmondson here. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com and crying on Twitter.
And I am Dennis Norris II, and you can find me on Twitter at the Earl Denden, TheEarlDenden.
And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and dick pics to thoughts.
Dick pics?
To thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number four, and thought spelled how?
T-H-O-T.
Tommy, you're doing
you
it on purpose.
You ruined that on purpose.
Tommy.
Flawless.
You're a disruptor.
Flawless. I am chaos incarnate.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.